There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host, and I am joined by Ray Garvin. He is back. That's right. He can be found on Twitter at RayGQ. Ray, how's the NFL season treating you, brother?
Oh, my gosh. Yates, I don't know, man. You know, we spend all this time during the draft process and the pre-draft process, and then the season starts. Dude, it's week six. Like, we're done with week six of the NFL season. It's crazy how fast the actual games fly by, man.
It is. We were talking about that earlier on the Waiver Wire podcast, on the Fantasy Pros Football podcast, just saying, like, man, it is crazy that we are in talking about, you know, Waiver Wire for week seven already. But we're not going to move on to week seven just yet here on the Dynasty podcast. We are going to take a look back at week six and talking about some of the news items, too, that happened over the weekend. Before we do, though, I want to remind everyone that we have a giveaway going on. That is the Javonte Williams signed Denver Broncos helmet, courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. To enter this giveaway, all you have to do is go over to Apple Podcast or CastBox, leave a review for the show, then head over to fantasypros.com/dynastycontest. Fill out the short form there and attach a screenshot of your review to be entered. That's all you have to do. The deadline for this one is October 31st, so make sure that you get that review in and head over to fantasypros.com/dynastycontest for more information. All right, Ray, so a couple of things here that I wanted to talk about before we talk about sell high players and buy lows and recapping week six. The Zach Ertz trade, right? Zach Ertz traded away from the Philadelphia Eagles. He ends up with the Arizona Cardinals. They have a need at the tight end position after Max Williams goes down with a devastating injury, season-ending injury there. So we've got Zach Ertz now in Arizona, and we can talk about him from a dynasty perspective. We can talk about, you know, what his impact is this year. He's getting older, so I don't know if there's much to break down from a dynasty perspective moving forward. But Dallas Goedert, this is the real thing that people are wanting to talk about and wanting to get some information about, how we view Dallas Goedert now from a dynasty perspective. So I want to turn this over to you. What are your thoughts here on the fantasy fallout from the Zach Ertz trade to the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I mean, obviously the first thing is this is great for Dallas Goedert, right? It's great for his opportunity. He's a player that we've been waiting for, you know, sort of him to ascend to that unquestioned tight end one role in Philadelphia, because we've seen so many flashes from Dallas Goedert over the past couple of years, but the issue was always Zach Ertz, and Zach Ertz is there, and Zach Ertz is going to command volume and still get a workload. Well, now that's removed from the equation. So, you know, off first glance, this is very good for Dallas Goedert. You know, it's crazy, Yates, because I didn't realize he was like 26 years old already, you know, 26 going on 27. Yeah. So he's older, but for the tight end position, he's still very young. That for as brutal as that position is, those guys seem to last quite some time. The issue is not Dallas Goedert that has me a little bit like just hesitant And if I were a Dallas Goedert manager, if he was rostered on my dynasty teams, I would definitely be just putting some feelers out there for his trade value right now, because the issue is not Dallas Goedert. It's the Philadelphia Eagles offense entirety, which is the issue. And I'll just say this, Yates, and you know, this is a bigger philosophical conversation around Philadelphia. I don't know how much different it looks with the Malik Willis, with any of those 2022 guys at the helm, if this offense is continuing to be called the way it's called. So off first initial reaction, first glance, I love it for Dallas Goedert and his opportunity, but I still am just a little bit hesitant because of the situation in Philadelphia.
Right. So I think a lot of people have always been saying with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, it was, if one of these guys was gone, then Dallas Goedert, if Zach Ertz was gone, excuse me, then Dallas Goedert would be a top five dynasty tight end. That's always what we've kind of been told. But now that we know that Jalen Hurts is not good as a passer, like we can confidently say that he's getting the job done for fantasy football, but it's not translating to, you know, consistent production as a passer. And that's hurting the receiving options here. So I think Goedert is going to be fine, but I don't know if he pushes up into that top five. Yeah, you're right with and you've done more work on the upcoming class, right? I haven't been able to pay attention whatsoever during the season, but it's not looking as strong of a class, definitely compared to the 2021 class, the QB class there with a guy like Malik Willis, or if they get Sam Howell with that Miami pick or whatever that looks like. So I think, the only way that I can see Dallas Goedert really ascending to a top five status would be if this stuff with Deshaun Watson gets cleared. And then we have Deshaun Watson, because that was a rumor that was linked right where Deshaun Watson could end up in Philadelphia. That would be the situation where I say, lock it in. Dallas Goedert is a top five dynasty tight end. Otherwise, I think he's kind of in that, 6 to 8 range. He's probably right in that range where he's still going to be really, really good, but not to the point where we lock him into the top five.
I mean, who would you rather have? You know, Mark Andrews or Dallas Goedert? Noah Fant, Dallas Goedert. TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert. If you said those three over Dallas Goedert, then he's right there where you said, you know, tight end 7, tight end 8 range.
Yep, because you still got Kyle Pitts. You've still got Travis Kelce for, you know, he's getting older, but he's still, like, the production is absolutely there. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. He's in that range. All right, there's another question that I want to get to before we get into recapping week 6, and that is taking a look at Christian McCaffrey, right? So Christian McCaffrey ends up on IR after missing, 2 games with that hamstring injury? And then ends up on IR. So we know that he's now going to miss the next 3 minimum to get his body right. Man, going into this season in Dynasty Startups, you had Christian McCaffrey going as the 101 in Superflex leagues. Like, that was consistent. In Dynasty Startups that I was doing, you were seeing him go above the quarterbacks, which is crazy now looking back. So my question to you is Christian McCaffrey still I think the 101 in Superflex is off the table, but in Dynasty Startups next offseason in 1 QB formats, is Christian McCaffrey still the 101 pick?
Yeah, it's absolutely not. I do not think at this point in time Christian McCaffrey can be considered the 101, and that is not a slight to CMC. We all know he is just the ultimate cheat code at the running back position. But the issue is, you know, the volume that he saw in 2019, I doubt we ever see that from Christian McCaffrey again. And I do believe that NFL teams are learning that you cannot give a 205-pound running back that type of workload, that type of volume, and expect him to sustain and hold up over the long period of time. He just turned 25. He just turned 25, and he's already dealing with back-to-back seasons, missing extended periods of time because of these soft tissue injuries. He's not built like a Najee Harris. He's not built like a Derrick Henry to be able to sustain that type of volume and that type of workload. So if you're asking me right now, and you're absolutely right, I mean, he was going 101, 102 in super flex format. So in single quarterback, he was the runaway top guy. There's no way I would take Christian McCaffrey at 101 from this point moving forward, and that's not a slight to him. It's just I trust some of the other running backs a lot more than I do CMC right now.
Yeah, incredibly talented, still going to be a very, very dynamic force for fantasy football when he's on the field. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. I doubt that we see him get that massive type of workload that he has seen. I mean, even earlier this year, right, he was seeing a ridiculous amount of touches, and it's just starting to catch up with him. And like you said, only 25 years old, and it's already starting to catch up with him. How far does he fall? That's my quick question here. How far does he fall in 1 QB formats?
Oh, man. I'd say he's still top five.
Yep.
He's still top five. I still would prefer Jonathan Taylor. I would prefer Najee Harris. I probably would prefer DeAndre Swift to Christian McCaffrey at this point. So he's still top five for me. I like him more than Dalvin Cook. I like him more than Alvin Kamara. I think the cutoff point, Yates, is like Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey. That's a question that a lot of people are going to have to answer.
I was definitely going to say you got to put Najee above CMC at this point, just with the age there and then also just the workload. We know that Najee's going to be able to stand up to it a little bit better than Christian McCaffrey, at least we hope. So, all right, man, let's move on to recapping week six here. Let's take a look at some sell high players. I want to turn this over to you first. Who is a player based on what they have done either in, you know, week six alone or in the past couple weeks that you are looking to sell high and capitalize on their value?
Oh my gosh, let's go to Baltimore. And I'm talking about, I'm going to Baltimore, but I'm referencing his Florida nickname. Hollywood Brown is a player. Marquise Brown, wide receiver of the Baltimore Ravens, is a player that I am willing to cash out on his top 10 wide receiver production so far this season. You know, he's a talented wide receiver, right? He's got speed. We know that he's dynamic. We know that Lamar, when he gets hot, I mean, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I just am not buying the long-term sustainability of Marquise Brown. We saw Rashad Bateman get back on the field. I'm not predicting or projecting that Bateman is going to take over, you know, as wide receiver one. You know, reality is I still think wide receiver one is Mark Andrews, if we're keeping it real here. But the Baltimore is a ground and pound team. They are a run first team. And Hollywood Brown has made, I don't even want to say the most of his opportunities, because if he had caught about three passes on the season, he might be pushing
Detroit,
wide receiver
right.
one. Yeah, yeah. And he actually dropped one this past week, too. Beautiful ball by Lamar Jackson. But if I can get out from underneath Hollywood Brown, I think you've made a great profit on that investment a couple of years ago. I'm willing to cash out on Marquise Brown right now.
All right, man. Well, apparently I should have gone first because at the top of my list is Marquise Brown. I'm not even kidding. So we are in complete agreement here because a lot of the same reasons. And I'm actually, you mentioned it's not alone with Rashad Bateman. I'm going to place more of a precedence on Rashad Bateman here.
Okay.
I think that Bateman coming into the lineup and his first game back or first game right into the NFL returning from injury. Like, man, he made an immediate impact, six targets, and completely canceled out Marquise Brown from an upside perspective. Now, I think that Marquise Brown, like you said, has definitely taken advantage of what he has been given so far this season, and he's missed a couple of key opportunities that could have made the fantasy production so much bigger. But I do think that he's still going to have value. But as far as him being a top 12 wide receiver like he has been up to this point of the season, I think that that's gone. I think that he is now going to move back into this boom or bust wide receiver three territory that he has been in years past, where he's going to give you some massive performances. But I do think at other times that you're going to see the ball go more to Bateman, and Marquise Brown is going to end up with 3-4 targets. Because if you do have Bateman dominating the target share, and then you do have Mark Andrews, who is going to command a ton of targets as well, then you have, it's a very small pie left over, right? Especially when they are so committed to the run game. So a lot of the same reasons that you mentioned there, I will say that I think Bateman plays a bigger role in this, where I look at what he did here in week one, a 24% target share off the top of my head. Like, that is immediate. And he didn't even play all the snaps. So Bateman, I think, is going to have a massive role on this team. I think it pushes Brown down from this top tier that we've been talking about him so far this year into this boomer bust wide receiver three territory. And if you can capitalize on that value right now, where people are not thinking about Bateman in that same light, then you capitalize on it right now.
100% agree. And he does something that Marquise Brown doesn't do. He commands those intermediate targets, right? Those 10 yard ends, those 15 yard dig routes, where Hollywood Brown really doesn't want to do that. And, you know, it may be better for his skill set to just be that field stretcher, let Lamar take a couple of shots downfield.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's turn it back over to you for your second sell high player.
Yeah, I'm going to make a lot of people upset here. But if I can cash out on Antonio Gibson in the belief that he's going to be the RB1 in fantasy football, the RB1, a top three dynasty running back, I will still do that. Yates, I saw you tweet out, it had to have been a couple of weeks ago, but you basically said, here's why J.D. McKissic is on the field so much. And it's just, he is a bigger problem for Antonio Gibson than most dynasty managers and seasonal fantasy football players want to admit. J.D. McKissic is good. He's good in his pass catching role. He's good in third downs. He's actually capable between the tackles. Now, you're not going to give him 20 carries a game, but I think there is this idea that Gibson, I saw the takes, RB1 in fantasy this season. You know, he is going to be Christian McCaffrey when we just have seen no evidence of that coming to fruition. And if I can cash out on Antonio Gibson and maybe tear down to a Javonta Williams plus, if I can tear down to a J.K. Dobbins plus in Dynasty, I'm doing that move 10 out of 10 times, and I love Antonio Gibson. I said he was David Johnson 2.0. He had that type of potential when he came out of Memphis. But so far, through 2 years or a year and a quarter of his career, we've seen no evidence of him commanding that Christian McCaffrey-type workload, but there are a lot of people who still believe it, and if you do, I will cash out Antonio Gibson.
I mean, Antonio Gibson is so much fun to watch. He's been dealing with a stress fracture in his shin. By the time that you listen to this podcast, you actually could get some clarity on whether Antonio Gibson is going to miss some time right now for the upcoming weeks here. So that's a potential where that could damage the sell high window, right? Because it is dynasty, but people think about the immediate, and especially with so many running backs injured right now, people just need starting running backs. So that's going to play a role here. And you listening will have a little bit more clarity by the time that this comes out. So I think with Antonio Gibson, and you mentioned the J.D. McKissic thing, like what I was referencing there was the pass protection. Like yeah. J.D. McKissic, from a pass protection standpoint, is just fantastic. You saw in the Atlanta game where he stepped up in a couple of key situations, recognized the blitz, and just put his body on the line and kept Matt Ryan upright. Antonio Gibson, for how much he was used, for how little he was used at Memphis, you know, 77 career touches, like he doesn't have those reps to be that pass protecting guy, which is why you see McKissic on the field in third down situations so much. So yeah, I think that for right now, I think that we were a little bit premature on saying that Antonio Gibson is a top five guy. I think that he still has the potential, once he figures out pass protection, that he could become that, and he dominates the opportunity share. I think it's coming. I just don't know if it's going to be this year. For me, I'm going to go with Adam Thielen. I think this is the last chance where you get out from underneath Adam Thielen. So far this season, Thielen has just 2 games above 55 receiving yards, and he is now coming off of a 11 reception, 126 yard, and 1 touchdown performance. At 31 years old, Thielen, I think this is the last game where we're going to see some big numbers here from him. And if you're sitting there and you're, you know, a below 500 team, you're not looking like you're going to be able to compete this year, you've been decimated by injuries, whatever the case may be, and you've got Thielen on your roster, I think this is the time to ship him off to a contender where someone is going to maybe overpay a little bit here for Thielen, because I think that the bottom is about to fall out here pretty quickly. We've already seen it up to this point of the season where he hasn't been extremely efficient. He's been dominating the touchdown rate, but he hasn't been efficient from a target, yardage, reception, whatever. You know, he just hasn't been doing that. So Adam Thielen is a guy that I am looking to sell high in Dynasty, because I think that the bottom's about to fall out here pretty quickly.
And you hit the key word, a contender, because a contender will see that and say, I need that for the next 2 years. I can win with Adam Thielen. And if you can get good value for Adam Thielen, that's a great move. I mean, he's 30 years old at this point, or close to it. So I love that call.
Yep, for sure. All right. Do you have a third sell high player, or do you want to move on to buy low?
Real quick, I'll just throw out one more running back, and I'll say Leonard Fournette. You know, Leonard Fournette has been dominant since he's been given sort of the starting reins. But I don't believe in Leonard Fournette long term. So if you could cash out Leonard Fournette and his, outstanding production so far, especially what he did this past week, being dominant in the pass catching game and on the ground, I would 100% be moving Leonard Fournette.
All right, so I want to ask you a question really quick with Leonard Fournette, and then we'll move on to buy low. So Jared Wackerly and I, good friend of the podcast, he and I made a trade in a dynasty league recently where he proposed this too. He sent me Leonard Fournette, and I sent back a 2022 second round and 2022 fourth round pick. Which side of that deal, if you are looking to sell Leonard Fournette, do you think that's high enough, or would you rather have just held on to Leonard Fournette?
I'd rather have Leonard Fournette. Have Leonard Fournette over the second and fourth. Good deal.
Yep.
I mean, listen, I'm saying sell high. I think you sold, I think you made out well right there. I like that for you.
Yeah, I think that you definitely can get more for Leonard Fournette, where I think that you, especially, I just mentioned it, where there are so many running back needy teams right now, where people just need to fill the position. And Leonard Fournette has completely taken over this backfield. So he will have value this year, until maybe he fumbles. I don't know what Bruce Arians is going to do, but until that happens, I think he is going to have value, and he is going to be the future is murky though, right? We don't know what's beyond this year or where he's going to be. So Leonard Fournette for sure. All right, let's go to the buy low players here. I'll start this one off. I'm going to go with Tyson Williams. Tyson Williams, the running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Man, I don't know why he is not active. I talked about this with Joe Pisapia on the podcast today, saying like, if we had, you know, we see Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and Latavius Murray, all three of those guys find the end zone this past week. What, from a production standpoint, what could Tyson Williams be doing if he was active and if he was given the workload that Latavius Murray has been given? I don't know what is happening behind the scenes for Tyson Williams to not even be active and not be given touches. But you look ahead here where I think that he has shown enough where other teams are going to be able to say, I think that Tyson Williams can be a factor in the NFL in a very specific role. And his contract is up at the end of this year. Now, he could be, you know, he could be tagged here by the Baltimore Ravens. He's a RFA, I think, off the top of my head. So we could see him just remain in Baltimore moving forward, but it doesn't sound like Baltimore really likes him. So, and they have Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins next year. Who knows what this backfield's going to look like? So I think with Tyson Williams, there's a potential that we see him end up somewhere else this next year. And right now you can get him for, I mean, dirt cheap. He might even be dropped in Dynasty onto your waiver wire in Dynasty leagues because people are just so frustrated with it. So Tyson Williams, the first player that I want to mention here for a buy low candidate. Let's turn it over to you. Who is your first buy low player?
All right. I'm going to the tight end pool because people do not believe that this tight end 4 is actually good. And you can still get him low. And I'm talking about Dallas Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz. You know, we spent the entire offseason hearing about Blake Jarwin. And Yates, I'm not here to toot my own horn.
I was about to say, you just picked this so you can hold this over and say that you picked Dalton Schultz
Yates,
on this.
Yates, I'm not tooting my own horn. I promise you, I'm not. But Dalton Schultz, I mean, he is, outside of CeeDee Lamb, I think he's the second most consistent pass catcher that the Dallas Cowboys have. And as long as Dallas has Dak Prescott, as long as they have Kellen Moore calling the plays, Dalton Schultz is still this undervalued. He's only 25 years old, Yates. He just turned 25 years old. They are going to lock him up long term. And I'm not saying he's going to be some top number one tight end, but when you're talking top 10, we just talked about Dallas Goedert, top 10. I have more confidence right now in what Dalton Schultz is going to give me week to week at a very volatile position than I do Amari Cooper week to week. And that is, and listen, I am down here in Dallas. I'm a Cowboy. I have more faith in Schultz's consistency than I do Amari Cooper right now. And Dalton Schultz is not going to go away. I'm seeing him traded for 2023 third round picks, 2023 second round picks straight up for a top 8 dynasty tight end. Sign me up for Dalton Schultz tethered to Dak Prescott.
Man, take your victory lap. Like, you know, you and I have talked about victory laps, and if you get the call right, like, dude, take it and just don't care what people say, because there are calls that we make here. It's very difficult to get things right, and you got this one absolutely correct. I was on the Blake Jarwin side of this. You were on Dalton Schultz, and you absolutely got this correct. And anytime that I see Dalton Schultz do something, I'm like, damn it, Ray. Like, I just... like, I always think about you when I hear Dalton Schultz doing something. And yeah, you're absolutely correct that he has been extremely consistent. And again, in a landscape where we just need people who are catching the football at the tight end position, like that's just what we need right now. And if you can get a discount on Dalton Schultz because people are not believing or not, you know, trusting what they're seeing on the field in this prolific offense, this very efficient offense, then man, get that discount, buy low. For me, I'm going to go with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has been a massive, massive disappointment up to this point of the year. And there are so many dynasty managers that are so frustrated that just want completely off just want him away from their rosters right now. People do not want to roster Allen Robinson, especially in dynasty. But this is a perfect opportunity for us to look past this year. And if you are a team that is looking to rebuild, a team that is looking to the future, you're not looking like you're going to be able to compete this year, then this is the moment where you go after someone like Allen Robinson and you get him for a second round pick, because I think that actually can happen. You can get Allen Robinson, who is going to be a free agent next year. We could see him end up in a very, very different offense. And really, this is about as bad as it's going to get, right? Because Justin Fields is going to continue to progress. They're going to continue to open up the offense in Chicago. So even if he is in Chicago next year, if he chooses to re-sign, I don't know why he would do that, but if he chooses to resign and stay in Chicago, we're going to see a better version of Justin Fields moving forward. So this is the ultimate low point for Allen Robinson, where you can get him dirt cheap.
That's a really good one, because I've been wondering what you do with Allen Robinson in Dynasty. He's, what, 27, 28 years old? Mm-hmm. I know he's having a down season, but goodness, I still believe in the talent, man. Fields is young. All these rookies, they're young. I know he's going to get it together. I love Allen Robinson, the player, so I'm glad to hear you say buy low on A-Rob, because I honestly had no clue what to do with him.
Yeah, man, I think this is a perfect window to buy. All right, let's go to you for your second buy low player.
All right, second buy low player, and this is weird because he's been great this season, but I think a lot of people still don't believe in it because he was an undrafted free agent. But James Robinson, I am so impressed.
He's so
every
good.
Single time I see him play, and you know they drafted Travis Etienne. That's a whole nother show, another story for another show. But Yates, I think even when Etienne comes back, James Robinson is not going to leave the field.
Depends on who's the head coach next year for Jacksonville.
I still think it's going to be Urban. I'll just say that. I still think it's going to be Urban Meyer. But I'm hopeful, and I truly believe that he's seen enough that he stopped with the Carlos Hyde nonsense and he started to feed James Robinson. James Robinson is a player that I still think that regardless if it's in Jacksonville or if he's playing on another team next season or midway through next season, he's just such a good, he's like Derrick Henry light. He can do it all in the receiving game, the blocking game, the running game. And James Robinson still is not costing you significant dynasty draft capital. You can trade for him right now at very reasonable prices that I would absolutely be willing to bank on that production now and in the future for a very volatile position. He's been pretty damn consistent, man.
He has. And I mean, I've got to give it to him. Like he is absolutely produced again with the opportunity here. Now, I'm really interested to see what this looks like moving forward with Travis Etienne in the fold. And there are going to be people in your league that are kind of in the same camp that I am, where it's like, if I've got James Robinson, and again, if I'm not contending this year, I've just got him and he's eating up a space on my bench. And I believe that Travis Etienne is going to play a factor next year, where James Robinson, again, is not going to get, what, 80% or 100% of the running back touches in that backfield, then you can get him. Like, you can get him for cheaper than what he actually is worth, or what he could potentially be worth. Let me phrase it that way, where if he does maintain a significant workload next year, that's kind of where you got to take your shot here. You got to take your shot with James Robinson and say, are we going to see Travis Etienne see 50% of the touches and, you know, be that lightning to James Robinson's thunder? Like, what does that look like? You got to call your shot. But this is the perfect time to do it. If you are a believer like Ray is, then you got to take that shot right now. I'm going to go with Ronald Jones here for my last buy low player. Now, Ronald Jones, Tampa Bay, has little value, has next to nothing, except just a high-end insurance running back, to the point where, you know, if something were to happen to Leonard Fournette, you're talking about the starting running back in, you know, Tampa Bay's offense. So he does have value from a dynasty perspective in that lens. But Tom Pelissero of NFL Network did come out earlier today and say that there is some trade chatter right now coming up on the trade deadline, talking about Ronald Jones as someone who NFL teams are checking in on, who have a need at the running back position. They're checking in on Ronald Jones because now he is only seeing, what, 12 snaps per game? Like, he is just not involved in this offense whatsoever. But if you get him on a different roster, that away from Bruce Arians, right? Because that's the whole thing with Ronald Jones, was Jones is fantastic. He has a little bit of a fumbling issue, but, you know, there are other running backs that have that and they just work through it. They continue to get the rock. It doesn't happen with Bruce Arians. So if he ends up somewhere else, we could see him be a top 20, dynasty running back. We could see that. So this is really just acquire him dirt cheap right now. Like, and I'm talking dirt cheap. Like, you can get him for a late second, early third round pick next year. I think that you can get him really, really cheap. And then it's a lottery ticket. It's something where if we do see him traded here, or also he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season, so we could see him sign somewhere else in the offseason to a running back needy team and see his stock skyrocket at that point. So Ronald Jones, kind of a sneaky play for the here and now. We could see it pay off in a couple of weeks, or we could see it pay off in the offseason.
Yates, I just want to tell you this, and I'm not joking. It was the Tampa Bay's last game. Who'd they just play? I don't even remember who they just played. Philly. Ronald Jones got a carry, and I kid you not, I was like, he's way more explosive than Leonard Fournette. Like, I just watched it, and I was like, he's way more explosive, but the coaching staff just doesn't trust him. He's still so young, and he is explosive. Nobody is going to deny the fact that when Ronald Jones hits the open field, Ronald Jones is gone. Sometimes players need a change of scenery. Sometimes they just need that, you know, in life. Sometimes we just need a change of scenery.
Right.
And I am not completely out on Ronald Jones. I think when you're talking the NFL, 32 teams, RB1, RB2, we see these guys used in conjunction outside of Tennessee with Derrick Henry. He's still one of the top 64 running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. A new team, if someone trades for Ronald, can you imagine Ronald Jones taking over for Latavius Murray or Le'Veon Bell if Baltimore decides to go away from Tyson Williams? Like, I'm with you. I think this is a hell of a call. And I know a lot of people is going to hear it and, ew, Ronald Jones, what have you guys been looking at? He's still young. He's talented. Change of scenery could do him some real good.
For sure. All right, let's go to you for your last buy low player.
Real quick, and I'll just throw it out there. Josh Palmer from the Los Angeles Chargers. I get that Mike Williams is having a career year. I also kind of don't buy it. I love Mike Williams. I love what he's doing, and I'm happy for him because I think he is going to get paid. Whether he's paid by the Chargers or somebody else, that remains to be seen. But I do think Mike Williams is going to earn his bag this season. And if he earns it elsewhere, Josh Palmer's only seen 6 targets this season. But I want talented wide receivers tethered to elite quarterbacks that have draft capital. And Josh Palmer is all 3 of those things line up, right? Keenan Allen is getting older. Jared Cook is old. I think Josh Palmer, and it never was going to happen this season, Yates. It was not going to happen this 100% season for Josh Palmer. But Dynasty, you talking about next year? I can easily see Josh Palmer sliding into that WR2 role for the Chargers. And if I'm catching passes from Justin Herbert, I want that guy. So Josh Palmer, sneaky buy low candidate for me.
Yeah, and again, you can get him super cheap. If someone actually believed that they were going to get something out of Josh Palmer this year, then you can get him pretty cheap. I think that he's definitely someone that you can target and get pretty cheap here. But you do have to take a little bit of a shot where, okay, if Mike Williams does resign, then Palmer, I don't know what his role is. You know, like, we might have to wait another year until Keenan Allen retires or moves on or, you know, whatever that situation looks like before we see Josh Palmer truly take over. So a little bit of a risk there, but I do think that it could pay off in a big way. Let's go to a dynasty waiver wire pickup, man. Someone who is, you look across your leagues and you see, you know, in one or two spots, it's not going to be the case for everyone. Depends on the size of your dynasty league, but someone that is definitely going to, or it could certainly be there that fantasy managers should consider picking up if they've got the space.
2 guys, Demetric Felton from the Cleveland Browns and Cedric Wilson, wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. I think those are 2 guys that are still, I've seen them on Dynasty waiver wires. You can pick up both of those guys. And Felton's probably going to have a role with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt hurt. He's going to have a role. And Cedric Wilson, I know Michael Gallup is set to return soon, but Seth Wilson has been making some plays. He's somebody you're never going to have confidence starting. But if something were to happen to an Amari Cooper, if something were to happen with one of those pass catchers, Cedric Wilson has shown that he can be a very reliable target for Dak Prescott. And again, and I'm looking for these high-flying offenses with opportunity to score points. So I like Cedric Wilson, and I also like Demetric Felton.
Yep. All right, man. For me, I'm going to go... I don't know actually if I want to pick this guy up, but I want to ask you about whether or not I should pick this guy up. Jamal Agnew. Is it time that we actually think about Jamal Agnew from a dynasty perspective? 13 targets over the past 2 games for a special teamer. I mean, he was in Detroit, right, for several years, I think, and just was not involved whatsoever, but ends up in Jacksonville, and Urban Meyer is like, hey, I can give you targets over LaVisca Chenault. That sounds like a great thing to do. So yeah, 13 targets over the past 2 games. I think that he is, I mean, he's out there on every dynasty waiver wire, but I wanted to get your opinion on Jamal Agnew really quick.
I mean, you have to, man. I mean, they've got him categorized as a DB on Sleeper. He's DB wide receiver. But at this point, you're right. Urban drafts these guys, he trades for guys, and he says, I want to throw this defensive back in here and pepper him with targets. I think you have to. I'm not even being funny. I think you have to. Just in the off chance that he becomes a security blanket or a deep play threat for Trevor Lawrence. I think you have to. It sounds gross. It doesn't seem like it should make sense. And quite frankly, it doesn't make sense. But you have to take that risk because it costs you nothing. A couple of fab dollars. Go put a bid in for Agnew.
Yeah, and he's getting targets, but it's also translating to production. Like, he's actually producing. And so, if you're in need of a wide receiver there, I definitely think that you can look his way. All right, that will do it for today's show. Ray, thank you so much for carving out some time, man. Always fun to chat with you. What do you got going on here that you want to tell the people about?
Same old, same old. Y'all know. Follow me on Twitter, at RayGQ. Yates, Fantasy Pros, I appreciate every time you invite me on, man. This was fun.
Absolutely. All right, that'll do it. For Ray Garvin, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.